Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a Monday morning episode of That's Hockey Talk. Pretty eventful weekend. AQ celebrated a birthday for your little one.
First birthday, big deal. Let's go.
That a boy. That a girl, I should say.
Yeah, I have a little respect. And then Gorms picks a winner, you know? That's the Country House just came out of nowhere and stole the show after the DQ, of course, Maximum Security in the Derby.
I had my eye on him. I didn't think he'd get to win the race, but pair him up in the exotics. I was all over it, but he ended up winning, yeah. So we took home a couple of nickels.
Not a bad weekend. Not a bad weekend. Some great hockey this weekend, too. The Carolina Hurricanes complete the sweep of the New York Islanders. A couple fun facts here about Carolina. Listen to this. This was wild to me. I compare them to myself in the bedroom. They don't get in often, but when they do, they make it count.
Really?
This is their fourth trip to the in their last four postseason appearances. This is the fourth time they've gone to the conference finals.
They just win. When they get in, they go deep. Yeah.
Of course, they lose to Detroit in 2002. They beat the Oilers in 06 after the lockout. And, of course, swept by the Penguins, the infamous Geno Malkin Spinnerama goal in 2009. They're also the 11th team in NHL history to win a Game 7 and then sweep the next series in the same year.
Damn.
Six of the previous 10 to do so have gone on to win the Stanley Cup. The Boston Bruins of 2011 were the most recent. So a couple little fun facts there for you if you want to put some money down on Carolina going forward, who looks like the team to beat right now, to be honest.
And with a little help from a little help outside of the organization is making them play good, Nick. I'll let you explain.
Yeah, it's kind of been all year with this, with everyone kind of cracking their jokes and making fun of Carolina, and then it finally happened. They broke Don Cherry, the senile old man, the yell at the sky routine. It was all there this weekend. He went off about him. Let's play that clip right now.
And you happened to bring up on the coach's corner that night what has made Raleigh, Carolina, the Hurricanes, you, everybody, rich and famous. This is unbelievable, the jerks phenomena.
I don't understand this. I said this on Canada, and it goes down in there. And, you know, it's a funny thing. They know that it's the wrong thing to do, or they do it in the playoff. No, you do it in October, you don't see him till March. They know in the playoffs, you should, look at that there, that's pretty good. You should not. You know, I don't understand, guys. I'm told the owner said entertain the crowd, and they still draft at 13,000 to 14,000 people. And these people that are here now they're winning. Front running fans, as far as I'm concerned, that's what they are. Front running fans, as far as I'm concerned.
Hard not to embrace it, though, isn't it?
And the pig, I don't embrace the pig and nothing. I said They look like a bunch of jerks, being a fish in the water, a bowling ball. This is professional hockey, and no sport in the world does.
And you happen to.
It's like Cliff Notes for old people. It's insane to me. It's ramblings of a madman. AQ, like, does this guy not get it? He clearly doesn't get it.
I mean, I was just losing it listening to that. It was just like,
that's all we heard. Yeah.
Come on, thoughts together. Put something clear and precise together. You're supposed to be a legend in the hockey world. Put something clear together. It was hilarious to listen to. I remember when he said it way back when about the bunch of jerks thing. At the end of the day, you got to find ways to have fun on this thing. People think it's just professional sports is just a game. It's a grind. And especially in these 82-game seasons that hockey and basketball and even 162 games that baseball plays. I mean, it is an absolute grind to do this for 6-7 months out of the year. So whatever makes you guys tick, whatever makes you guys have fun on the ice and look forward to winning, because it's hard to win.
Yeah.
I've seen time and time again, it is hard to win in any professional sport.
Hats off to Don Cherry, man. I'm giving him all the credit, because when he came down with a bunch of jerks, they rallied around it. The fans rallied around it. Their T-shirts being made. They spelled out jerks the other day with empty seats. That's something any playoff team needs that they can go on. Now, as far as stopping the celebration and stuff, yeah, we're coming into the playoffs. It's a bit of a different atmosphere. Everything's on the line. I can see ownership saying, hey, we have a lot of fun with it. Let's just tone that down a little bit. But remember, we're a bunch of jerks. Nobody trusts us. Nobody believes in us. Let's keep proving them wrong. And I think that's been Don Cherry. Nobody remembers Don Cherry as a head coach in this NHL.
No.
Unless you're 70-something years old. So to the common hockey fan in 2019, he's just an old boy. He's just, you know, yelling
get
at dogs on the street.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
him out of here.
I mean, it'd be like me having a national hockey show is what I'm saying. Like me and me only on there. You know what I mean? And I'm not, you know, I love the game. Don't get me wrong. But it's me just saying off what's off my mind. Same thing with Don Cherry, man. But they're eating it up, and you know what? The bunch of jerks, another conference final.
I mean, yeah, at least if you're going to be a heel or be a bad guy about it, like you just said, take the credit for it because he did inspire them. He gave them a rallying point. But, I mean, they've done everything right in terms of they're not showing people up in the playoffs. They stopped doing it because in his mind they knew it was wrong. Or maybe it's just because it was time to get serious, you know?
And Boston, Colorado, heads up, man. This is a team that's got some rest now. They were banged up. They're going to be facing the winner of the Boston, Colorado series. And look the
Columbus.
Flip out.
You have trouble with those COLs.
Yes. Oh, I did. Yeah. Jesus.
But yeah, they sweep the Islanders. Tough look for the Islanders who couldn't get any puck luck. We've talked about it all series. Just all the bounces they were getting against Pittsburgh, they weren't getting any against Carolina. Even when Mrazek goes out, Curtis McElhinney comes in and plays lights out. What do you do there moving forward? What do you do? Who do you start in goal if you're Carolina? Do you keep going with McElhinney? Or if it's me, I'm only putting Mrazek back in there if he is 100% healthy. If he's even the slightest bit dinged up, I'm like, but now they got a chance here to get some rest because Columbus and Boston go in game six tonight. That might get pushed to seven. They got at least a few more days to rest up. Did you see Dougie Hamilton going through the handshake line too?
I did not. What happened?
Okay, so earlier in the series, Brock Nelson scores a goal. And as he scored, he skated by and he tapped McElhinney on the head. Just a little pat, like, hey, buddy, how you doing? So they go through the handshake line. Dougie Hamilton goes through and he taps Brock Nelson right on the head after he shakes his hand. Just a little, hey, buddy, how's it going? Have a good summer.
I love that.
I loved it, too. The handshake line is so sacred. You never really see stuff like that. You might see a private conversation, two guys sharing a moment, but you never really see a little bit of showmanship in there. And to me, it was incredible. It was like the ultimate troll.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, I love that stuff. I love whenever like you just kind of let your play on the ice do the talking all series long, and then afterwards you can throw a little jab in there, like, hey, fuck you. I know what you did, right? Like I got it.
And then, speaking of, we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but Boston-Columbus, wild third period in their game the other night. That's been kind of the theme of these playoffs, where these come from behinds and these blown leads and
four
just
goals
pandemonium
in
the third.
Four goals in 3.5 minutes between those two teams. Yeah, this is crazy. My favorite thing about this series going in, tonight they're in Columbus, Boston leading 3-2, is Torts. And we love when Torts speaks. And Torts said, hey, we'll be back here for a game seven, meaning they're at home tonight, but they are going back to Boston to win the game seven. And when your head coach says that, and everybody can read it, and of course that what they say in the locker room doesn't always address out on
True.
The media, but he just came out and said, we'll be back here. When your head coach says that, I'm all in. Good job, Columbus. I've doubted you for months. And look out, Boston, even though that line, the best line in playoff hockey right now, led by Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, and Pastrnak, they're crazy good. The little ball of
hate. Starting to figure it out a little bit. They're starting to put up some points
after
being blanked.
Man, I'm telling you, that Marchand guy, oof.
There's been way more scoring in this series than I anticipated. I expected it to be a lot of tight checking, close scoring games. And for the first and second period of game five, it was like that. And then kind of all hell broke loose there in the third. AQ, is this what you expected in this series with these goalies and the big guys kind of staying quiet and then all of a sudden figuring it out here towards the end? What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the first two games, like I said, I mean, I said, I think last show that it was literally a football game on ice.
Yeah.
A ton of hits. But I think Rask and Bobrovsky both have been leaky in stretches over their careers, right?
Yes,
and I think
very much
you can – you always see moments of that from both of those goalies. So, like, I don't think it's out of the question or unordinary that you're seeing these barrages of goals and streaky moments, right? But I think – yes, I think it's definitely more goal scoring, especially in this type of series. It's a high hitting game. It's a physical game. You thought there'd be lower scoring games, but we are getting a lot more goals than we expected.
Yeah, and you made a good point with the leakiness too. I think it was Krejci's first goal on Bobrovsky the other game where it looked like Bob had it all the way, and Krejci kind of fanned on the shot while he's falling to the ice, and it just trickles right underneath the pad to get the thing started. And then Bob comes back in the third, and he makes that absolutely incredible glove save on Marchand, but then Brad gets the rebound, buries that. So it's kind of been peaks and valleys, highs and lows there with the goaltending. But those were the question marks going in for both teams, too. It was like Tuukka Rask, how well can he hold up? How long can he keep it going? He's kept it going. Another team with some goaltending woes right now, Dallas Stars and St. Louis Blues. Ben Bishop, man, that was a tough look the other day. It looked like Dallas was going to walk away with this series here and lock it up and close it out. The Blues are fighting for their playoff lives. And then all of a sudden, a seemingly harmless shot from the point hits Ben Bishop right in the collarbone. And I couldn't believe it. Hard shot. Yeah, but it wasn't anything like out of the ordinary, right? It was a clean shot. He saw it the whole way, hits him right in the collarbone, and just dropped him. That means no padding is what that meant. It caught him in a weird spot and just dropped him. They end up scoring on the play. And then I think it was the very next shot, the Blues come down on a breakaway. Wild move, but I respect it. This guy coming down on a breakaway just rips a clapper from like the faceoff dot. And I guess it's the smart thing to do if you know the goalie is uncomfortable, he's not feeling right. Just get the next thing you can on that. And then the Blues took over from there. If Bishop isn't right, I mean, Anton Hudobin's a capable backup, but with two games in your season on the line, I don't know. One game left.
And it's on the road in St. Louis. I'm with you. I'm doubting you that he's going to feel that collarbone going in. And because if he left the ice and he went down in a heap and then left the ice.
Oh, buddy, no one knows about the collarbone more than me. I still feel it from time to time.
Now he's got to go make those standard regular saves and he's got that thing that's singing on him on his collarbone. I don't like it, man. And St. Louis has been, St. Louis continued 5-1 in road games.
Still just beasts on the road.
And now they're at home for a game 7. I mean, this thing adds up to you know what.
Hey, this is what we want, though. We love game 7. It's who we taking. To me, if Bishop comes out and is healthy, I'm taking Dallas. I think they get it done.
I think Dallas is the better team, but, I mean, they had all the momentum, and it just 180 flipped. I mean, it is completely in St. Louis's hands now, and I think with Bishop being a little eerie going into this game, maybe I still got some pain here. Maybe he's a little skittish. Maybe that's never a good look for a goalie, especially with pucks just coming at you all day long. So I'm going to have to go with St. Louis.
Especially with a guy who's had a history of injury problems. Ben Bishop gets hurt a lot.
Right.
Who you got, Gorms?
I'm going with St. Louis.
You like St. Louis? Yeah. I think.
Remember, we're still a rookie goaltender. Can we not forget about Bennington? I mean, still a rookie goaltender in this thing. Now we're talking, hey, it is the real deal. So I like St. Louis at home, but just keep that in mind. Rookie goaltenders get puckered up in these situations, man. I mean, they've been playing great, but then we're talking about a one-game series.
Here's my thing. I think it's going to do Dallas some good to get out of their building, get back on the road, because I think they were distracted by that giant set of breasts behind the bench. I don't know if you guys saw this, but this girl, she had him out for everyone, for all, the whole world to see. And I don't know how guys are keeping their focus when that's going on.
That was Dallas management that specifically placed her there.
Well, it backfired, and I think it was quite distracting to the guys on the bench. She might need to make a trip to St. Louis and bust them out again for the boys, because they're going to need it on the road.
Can't wait.
Here we go again. Another game 6, San Jose, Colorado. Probably the most interesting series in terms of I never give Colorado enough credit. I definitely thought San Jose would make this easier, but I do think they close it out tonight. And I think whether Pavelski returns or not, that was a cool moment, him being there in the crowd, firing up the fans in the Shark Tank. I think they get it done on the road tonight, and they're closing it out.
I'm with you. I don't think Pavelski returns tonight. I think if there is a game 7, he'll return.
Why risk it, right?
Yeah, why risk it? But you got your captain back coming in strong like that. 37 shots on goal against that one Colorado with Grubauer.
That's a lot of shots in a playoff game to be given up.
It's just a lot. And San Jose's figuring stuff right now with arguably their best player that's been on the sidelines. We saw the towel waving like you had mentioned the other day. So it's all San Jose. Colorado, great run. It ends, though.
Wow.
I'm going against you guys. I have to. I mean, I'm going Colorado. They got too much talent, too much speed. It hasn't shown up in the right way.
I'm
going
to let you finish. But Nathan McKinnon, did you see what they did defensively on him? He got one shot on goal last game, one shot.
No.
And they put all their efforts into slowing him down. He's been on an eight-point playoff streak and had one shot on goal, and this one was mismatched.
That's the only way you can do it. You got to smother him. You got to bracket him. You got
to
head him.
Sorry, AQ. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just like what they did with McKinnon.
I like what you did there. That was a hell of a point, and you're making a great point. But – He shows up tonight, Gorms. This guy shows up. This guy has been showing up all playoffs long. He's fast. He's their leader. He's going to show up tonight, and the rest of the boys are going to show up tonight. We're going to take this back to game 7 as well.
I would love to see another game 7, so I hope I'm wrong about one of these. I think Columbus stretches out, and I think they take it to game 7, but I do think Colorado's season ends tonight. We'll see, though. You never know. That's why we love it. Like we've been saying on Bro-Bro-Bro-Bets every time we get asked, these games are all coin flips, really, at this point. Mm-hmm. Unless you're fucking Carolina, who all of a sudden found all their offense and turned it on at the right time. That being said, some teams going home potentially. Let's talk a little offseason news. Gorms, I know this one's near and dear to your heart.
I got this one. I got a few words on this one.
Kenny Holland.
Yep.
pushed out.
Yes.
He was pushed out. Let's say it.
He was pushed out by arguably the second greatest Red Wing of all time behind Gord Howe.
Wow.
I mean, he was pushed out. And I've been calling for the push out, and this guy has championship trophies. This guy wears championship rings. And all of a sudden, the Wonder Boy comes up from Tampa after a year off. Stevie Y takes over hockey operations from Kenny Holland. Kenny Holland says, hey, I'll be a senior VP upstairs. No.
You knew that wasn't going to happen.
Edmonton gets on the horn and says, hey, Kenny, we can build around Connor McDavid here. You want to come up north? And that was quick, man, gone. So it's just like the ugly side of pro sports, AQ, is just what we saw. But I like the move overall with Kenny Holland, you know, taking over for Edmonton and getting out of the building, letting Stevie Y do his work.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. You never want like a power struggle, obviously, with a guy who's got so much pedigree. You see it in every sport, in every building. There's always some type of power struggle. And so now this gives Stevie full autonomous, total control without anyone looking over his shoulder, anybody questioning his moves. And then Kenny can get a fresh start up in Edmonton and hopefully put some pieces around McDavid and them, because God, they've really fucked that up there.
Yeah. Hey, here's the real question with that. Like, I think we all knew Kenny had to leave. He still wanted to be a GM. And I think the Red Wings did the right thing. I think it was time for him to move on and get a fresh start somewhere else. Who's in a better position right now, though? Stevie Yzerman or Kenny Holland in Edmonton? Because I know a lot of people say you want to start a team, you want to build around Connor McDavid. He's great. He's probably the most talented player in the league right now. But they don't have anything else there. And they got a lot of bad contracts, and they got a lot of work to do. Detroit, meanwhile. Yeah,
but these are both three-year experiments coming up, 2 to 3 year experiments. They have to. Obviously, I think it's easier to build around a superstar like Connor McDavid. Yeah. I don't think that guy, don't throw me Dylan Larkin either, is not on the same level.
No, I would never say that, but he's a solid young player.
He's a solid young player. But I just think if we're looking at who has the higher upside on it, Edmonton quicker to get more wins because he's one of the top five players in the world, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's also a tough sell, though. You got to recruit guys to go live up there in Edmonton, and not a lot of guys want to do that, especially with the way that organization's been run the last 20 years. So hopefully, if Kenny comes in there, it sends the right message to a lot of people around the league, like, hey, the joke's over. We're going to figure this out, and we're going to ice a competitive team, a winning team. This is a place you want to come play. This is a place you want to be. But I don't know. Like, it seems like there are fundamental issues there all the way through the organization, and I don't know if Kenny's enough to just clear that up. We'll see. I mean, I like the move for Edmonton, obviously. I think it's the best available guy they were going to be able to get. Be interested to see who's going to coach the team now and how all that falls into place. Going to be a fun offseason for them. I'm sure some of those contracts and some of those guys are going to be on their way out. A lot of new faces. All that fun stuff.
Wouldn't mind getting an Arizona Coyote, update offseason look out there, because I know they're not your favorite team, but you do see that team out there. I'm just going to throw this at you real quick. We don't need to dive in too deep. Is this a good team in the next 2 to 3 years as far as advancing in the playoffs, in your opinion?
100%. 100%. I think as long as they give talk at the time to get the guys that he wants in here, keep instilling his system, which is obviously Pittsburgh's system for the most part, and you know, if he can have enough time to get the offense in here that he wants, I think they move forward in the right way. I mean, they proved it this year without very much offense,
right,
that they were a point away.
They were close.
I would like
close
to see them make a move this offseason for an impactful forward, like a big-time scoring winger or something like that. Obviously, mm-hmm. It's tough to do that in the years past when you don't know where you stand. I think they got a good grasp and a good young group there now, and I think now's the time where you try and take that next step forward, and instead of fighting for a playoff spot at the end of the year, now you put yourself in position at the beginning of the year to come in and lock up a spot and try and hold it all year long. So we'll see. The offseason is going to be a lot of fun. I got some things lined up. I got some people to talk to that we'll dig in deep and kind of break things down once the playoffs are over. We'll do a few
episodes of
rumors and all that fun
stuff. AQ, I love the offseason, and like Nick said, we're trying to line up some guests. I'm going after Doc Emrick hard.
Let's go.
Going after Doc.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
If we get Doc on here, that's the only soundbite I ever need. And that's hockey talk. All right, boys. All right, everybody. Thanks for rocking with us.
We'll come back this week because we have so many unanswered questions going on right now. And you know, us three just picking these games, it hasn't exactly worked out that way. Keep in mind, I went chalk before
the
playoffs.
Though. Don't worry about it.
I know. I did go chalk. Just keep in mind, I like to tell myself as much as possible, Calgary and Tampa Bay for the cup. Calgary and Tampa Bay.
We're figuring it out as we go. We know everyone out there is, too. We're doing our best. And if you like what you hear, subscribe, rate, review, tell your friends, let everyone know. Thanks for rocking with us, and that's Hockey Talk.